listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow, live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life Weekly Service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
And of course, we got Michael Kelly behind the scenes, sometimes producing the show and in front of the scenes sometimes. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in a number of specializations, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. Of course, we'd like to welcome everyone who's listening to the live broadcast, as well as those listening to the archives. Good to have you with us. Just briefly, I'd like to mention our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them, and they are expanded on at our website, which is metaphysicalhumanism.org. The first of the 9 is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of a physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, you can learn more about these at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, Dr. Hunter has already pulled a card from our Inner Oracle card deck. And so we'll start off with that.
Absolutely. To get us started, the law of control. I think it's a good one. Number 5 in the Life Leadership Paragon, it reads, differences are inevitable, diversity is desirable, and the law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control, and don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. You know, and really what comes to mind, the first thing that comes to mind, honestly, is, you know, we control ourselves and what we purchase at the store that supports an economy. We decide, you know, and we have full control over what we read in the media. We have full control over a lot of things in life that we don't necessarily exercise that control. So, you know, so sometimes I think rather than complain about it, just boycott, you know, but more closer to home when it comes to relationships and family and friends and such, you know, you can't control other people. We can have discussions, we can have talks and share ideas, but you can't control other people. So it's really about learning how we want to respond and to, you know, have control over ourselves. And I think that's the ultimate control.
Great. That's always a good card. I was going to ask Michael if you could find card 29 and read that one for us. And by the way, we're going to just be using the cards tonight. If you would like a card pulled for you, just say something in the chat room, and we'll get to that ASAP. Do you have the card?
Yeah. Give me just one sec.
That's been a second.
Well, it's going to be a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, he's got a fine card. So anyway, if you recall, the last couple, 3 weeks or whatever, I've been encouraging our listeners, if you have any good pay it forward stories, to send them in. And I will reiterate that. If you have any good pay it forward stories, please send them in, because we'd love to read them on the broadcast here. And Tabby, one of our students and listeners, has sent in a story that we'd like to read. Dr. Hunter will read that in a moment once we find that card, pay it forward, which is 29.
Actually, I caught a bit of that foreshadowing, but yeah, I do have the card here, number 29, pay it forward, and I will read from the good book.
I like that.
All right. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
All right, good.
Well,
so, go ahead.
You know, and Tabby sent us a really nice little testimonial, and I just kind of like to read you parts of it if I can. She came into a situation where a relative found a young cat that had been pregnant and homeless and lost, and so her cousin knew that she volunteers at a local rescue. And so here was her dilemma. Where she lives, there is no pets allowed. However, Tabby contacted her landlady, explaining her desire to foster the cat for temporary time until she could get her adopted, and landlord agreed. So it was a really, you know, wonderful gesture on her landlord's part, because that's also, I think, a little pay it forward there. So anyway, Tabby's taken in this cat, and she said, "I spend my resource, time, and effort trying to nurture her back to health and provide her with the framework to be an adoptable cat for a loving family." She says, "I know I won't ever get my time and resources back. They won't be mine." But she said, "My compassion goes out to them and hope my efforts would translate into a family inviting sheer joy into their world and their compassion for rescued cats." So, you know, it's a really wonderful story of sometimes, even on a temporary basis, well, of course, it's temporary. All things that we do in a giving way is temporary. But, you know, Tay, and she did say here in her letter that it's going to be hard for her to relinquish this cat.
Yeah.
And you can't help but get attached. Yet she's willing to do that to help this cat and help another family. But I think there's, in my view, this pay it forward just kind of trickles on down from, you know, her cousin and like relatives to the landlady to Tabby, and then, you know, passing it on. And it to me, of course, we're all cat lovers here. Everybody knows that. However, I think that it's greater than a cat. This is about human beings acting in a good way and helping each other and paying it forward.
Yeah, good for you, Tabby. Thanks for sending that in. And again, I'd like to really encourage those of you listening, if you have a good pay it forward story, just email it to me at admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student, just send it to any email, admin emails, they all come here. So we'd love to hear them, and we'll mention them on the program too. All right, so let's pull a couple of cards for listeners. Phyllis has got to go soon, so let's pull a card for her, and then we'll come back to Fran and Dr. Angie. I believe
I have one for Phyllis, if that's all right. And number 19, spirituality, invoke the counselor within. Oh, I really like that one. Okay. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. And of course, we know you already live a rather unordinary life, Phyllis. And when you do live an unordinary life, it really brings us to these little reminders because we're always challenged. There's always some amount of adversity. And I think this is just that little reminder for you that, you know, if you feel challenged in any way, sometimes it's just better to sit still and look deep inside and say, really, what's my path? So we all need that reminding.
That's good. And speaking of Phyllis, she just wrote in the chat room that her grandson wanted to go to a Young Living camp, but he could only raise half the money. And the county commissioner heard her daughter talking about it and was able to get her son, grandson a scholarship from the Rotary Club. So, you know, there's another example of paying it forward. Somebody helped out. They heard, they overheard it. They took advantage of the opportunity, and they acted on it. So that's a great story, Phyllis.
Fantastic story, yep.
Yep. All right, so let's go to Fran is next for the cards.
Hello, Fran. This one is number 7 in the wild card suit, and it's hope. Boy, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
Always a big one. Hope, number 7. I'm getting it. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. Those are just the little add-ons to that in that hope message. But it's no matter what, there's always hope. You have a new dream, there's hope it can happen. You know, you feel a little challenged, there's hope to fix it. There's always a solution. And hope is absolutely, as it says here, you know, it's desire. And always keep that going.
That's always a good card. You know, hope is the last thing, and we don't want to ever lose that. No matter what kind of situation you may find yourself in the future, even now, just don't lose hope. There's always hope. As long as you believe there's hope, things will pass. So if anyone is in a tough time right now, in a tough situation, don't know what to do, don't lose hope. It will pass. You just got to be patient. You know, who's more powerful, you or the problem? Well, don't let the problem be more powerful. Just maintain that hope. It will pass. You know, look for those solutions. You know, think outside the box a little bit. Look for solutions that exist outside your belief system. And yeah, it will happen. It will pass. All right, let's go to the next one then. Dr. Angie wants a card.
Hello, Dr. Angie. Talk about animals. You know, Dr. Angie is working on our animal communication course, and she works with animals. So this is, you know, I mean, you know, she's always doing kind things. And she mentioned up here that temporary homes for animals is so critical. So she was commending, you know, Tabby for taking in that cat. So for you, Dr. Angie, I just pulled a card. 44, life skills suit, attitude and disposition. And enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be a positive or a negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. So certainly, we know that you absolutely do that, but it's a good reminder. But enthusiasm, an agreeable disposition, you know, assures the happiness. But it's also very contagious. You know, it's it influences others. And so keep doing what you're doing. You know, because you set such a great example to others. So, and again, even when there's challenges, but a can-do attitude makes it happen.
I like to comment on a couple of things here, too. And by the way, if anyone else would like a card and you haven't put your name in, please do so now, and we'll pull it in here in a minute. In fact, I'll ask Michael to pull the next card for whoever, and if nobody wants one, then we'll pull one anyway. But as far as speaking of paying it forward, Dr. Angie, I mean, she's been doing that for a long time with animals and, you know, really has done a remarkable job. And I'd also like to point out that agreeable disposition is such a beautiful thing in a person, you know, to have an agreeable disposition, somebody who's not contentious, somebody who's not disagreeable, who doesn't, you know, fight everything, who it just has such a gracious nature about them. That's a beautiful thing. And the other point in that card that I wanted to highlight, something I've talked about a lot, is the can-do attitude, you know, asking how hard can it be. And that's something that I see a lot of lack in. People don't try hard enough. They don't have that can-do, how hard can it be type of an attitude. And that's one that we have to have. Whatever we're trying to accomplish, we have to have that attitude. How hard can it be? You know, people just like us have done amazing things in the world. If you don't know how to do it, then go find out how to do it. Make it happen. That's the attitude that will get you places in life. It's why this school and this church exists. That very attitude. I didn't know about this stuff 6 years ago, a lot of it. Well, I knew some of it, but there was a lot I didn't. I had to look it up, had to figure it out, had to research, had to ask, and had to continue to research and still do, as a matter of fact. So, you know, that's the one point of pride that we should all have, is that when we want to do something, if we decide to do it, we go make it happen. We don't just depend on others to make it happen, but we go out and we make it happen. Having that can-do attitude, it is another great life skill that we can adopt. All right, so do we have anyone else? I haven't been...
Errol.
Okay, Errol, let's do a card for Errol. Michael.
All right. And I have number 43 in the life skill suite, expediency.
Yeah, that's a good one. Kind of fits in with the other one.
All right. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
If you got any comments, son, go ahead.
Well, the one comment I can honestly say from experience is this is one of those principles that if you consistently apply this in your life, it will fix so many problems. Just do what you should do when you should do it.
Exactly. That's the point I was going to highlight, too. That is the secret of success in anything. Do what you should do when you should do it. Now, the challenge at times is sometimes we don't know what we should do, and we may not know when we should do it. But if you can satisfy those two criteria, you'll have success in anything. And so that's just, it just speaks to the need to educate ourselves, to grow in our awareness, to grow in our knowledge, and to continue lifelong learning, always learning something new. In fact, if you can, spend 15 minutes a day just learning something new. That's easy as surfing the net, looking for things. Or if you've got a question on something, why not do some research, look it up, and increase your knowledge on that. So, all right, we'll pull another card here in a few minutes, but I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about that I'll bring up lately is, and this is probably of interest, and I've mentioned this before, I've mentioned everything before, but this is of interest to paranormal researchers and anyone who would do research, I guess. It applies to everybody who would do research on anything, I guess. And the admonition here is to be a good researcher. You know, look beyond the face value of something you might be researching. And this applies a lot to paranormal stuff. You know, anything, UFOs, you know, you go on YouTube, you see a gazillion videos on, you know, life on Mars. And you, so you watch some of these and there's a bunch of rocks that people are, you know, assigning faces to, or some kind of structures, pareidolia, which is the same thing as, you know, seeing faces in the clouds. Now, there are a couple of things on those videos here and there that are pretty darn compelling. I'll give them that. I just wish they would include the original shot. So you can go to the NASA website and get it. And that's another part of research. Always provide, you know, your sources like that, where you're getting things from. But the point is, there's so many people who say so many things and they don't even know that they have no clue about how to research, how to investigate, how to analyze the evidence. So I want to encourage those of you who are in any kind of, especially in kind of paranormal research, cryptozoology, ufology, parapsychology, don't just settle for the quick answer or the answer that you want to get. Keep looking, keep digging, and look for a non-paranormal related explanation. You know, don't jump to the paranormal. That's the thing about orbs. You know, for years, some a lot of people looked at, you know, they see an orb in a picture, and, you know, there it is. Told you, dear old Aunt Martha's visiting us, you know, again, because it was, you know, family get together and she was always here and here she is again. Well, you know, that's nice to think that. It would be great. And she may very well be there. But orbs are not paranormal events. They're just close proximity contamination. They're dust. And they're a result of the digital age of cameras. You know, the flash is too close to the lens, or the light catches it just right, and you get these things. So continue looking and finding an explanation. And when you, if you think you got something and you think you have a hypothesis for it, be careful how you word it. Because if you put all your eggs in that basket and it later comes out somebody else went a step further and explained it naturally, your reputation is going to suffer. So you want to maintain your own credibility by not automatically saying, oh yeah, that's it, that's for sure. You know, here's this blob squatch photograph of, you know, some Bigfoot or UFO. Yeah, it's a UFO, you know, it's a Bigfoot, and it could be any number of things. So be careful about that. Those are just a few of the thoughts that I had on that. Let's pull another card, and then I'll bring up another subject. Any takers?
Who would you like? Michael, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, I'll grab another one.
You know what, son?
Yeah.
Okay, and once you're done with that one, then we'll pull one for Fran's husband, Jonesy. Go ahead, son. I just saw it.
Gotcha. All right. All right. So this one is going to be number 18 in the existential suite, Evolution.
Always a good topic.
Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
All right. That kind of goes right along with what we were talking about, evolution.
Absolutely. Rolling. And then I think Dr. Hunter?
I just picked one for Fran's husband, Jonesy, if
Jonesy.
That's all right. Moving along.
I guess Jonesy, yeah.
Yep. That's what... number one.
I think
in
the
wild card suit, Paradox.
You were breaking up there. Would you say it once more?
A mystery.
No.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas.
Can you hear us?
Paradox. Is that better?
Oh.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, yeah, start over because you were breaking up. We didn't hear any of it.
Okay.
Paradox.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common. Maybe a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. So it's I think that's a really great message. If you're looking at something, I'm sorry, I guess my audio is breaking up. Do you want to carry on to talk about that one, Doug?
Yeah. I have to correct what Michael said in our personal chat. You're funny. Just remember, every time you say, "Can you hear me now?" you overrise it royalties. What a hoot. What card number was Paradox?
That was wild card number one.
Okay, wild card number one. Okay, it's here. There it is. Okay. So, obviously, paradoxes, if we look for them, we can find them, and sometimes we want them. It's like the 180 principle of problem solving, you know, the 180 degrees. It's like the fly flying at the window. Desperately wants out, but ends up dying on the windowsill, and all I had to do was turn 180 degrees around and fly out through the open door behind it. And sometimes we're like that fly at the window, and we want to get out of a situation or whatever, and that goes right along with what I was saying earlier about problem solving. We have to look for the solutions that we may not that may not be part of our belief system. We need to turn around and look at, in the opposite direction. And some questions that will help us in that is, what should I not do to solve this problem? What would be the worst thing to do for this problem? What would I never consider to do in solving this problem? Those are all kind of paradoxical. So those are some thoughts. If anyone else has thoughts, go ahead.
Dr. Hunter, are you back with us?
Can you hear me now?
That's at least another $500 gone.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to go ahead and try to fix this real quick. But I believe we were talking about paradoxes, and what better example of just life in general is there but just a paradox? Everything's a paradox. I think you've commonly said it's crazy to live in a world where everything eats everything else. That's a paradox. It's just It's the fact that how can, you know, object A exists while object B also exists. They're incompatible, yet they're still here. It's just one of those things. They're incompatible philosophies that, or ideals or notions in science that seem to be incompatible, but yet we have evidence that both are true. How can they both exist? And, you know, this just reminds me, one of my favorite quotes is, "The mysterious is the most beautiful thing that we can experience." That was Albert Einstein. And it's lucky because most of life is mysterious.
It is. Those are some good things. And, you know, and talk about paradox, I mean, you can get into, you know, the standard model that explains the universe, which has to do with gravity and so forth, and then we have a seemingly paradox of quantum physics because they don't play nice together, and that's why science is trying to find this theory of everything to try to get them to play nice and try to get them to work together, because the laws of gravity and so forth break down once you get down to the subatomic level. And so we might have Dr. Hunter back. Do we have you back?
I am.
Oh, good.
Can you hear me now? Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. And so if anyone has any topics they would like us to consider, just say so in the chat room. Otherwise, we're going to pull one more card and then start wrapping things up, I think. So, Michael, you want to go ahead and do that since...
Yeah, absolutely.
Your Hunter's connection's dubious. We'll blame Verizon for that, too, huh?
Verizon.
Well, interestingly, you know what's interesting?
You should
disconnect her and call her back, so...
Gotcha. I'll try that another shot. Give that another shot.
Oh, you did already?
Yeah, but, you know, third time's charm.
That's right.
It's something that shouldn't be true, but eerily is.
Well, there's another mystery, huh?
All right. Well, while I'm going to multitask here, I'm getting Dr. Hunter back on the lines. And while I'm doing that, I did pull a card. And got to say, this one is excellent. Number 22 in the spirituality suite, think for yourself.
Yeah. Good one.
Another good principle to live by. And give me just one sec. I'll look it up here. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Good ones. All right. So that card of thinking for yourself, I mean, that is absolutely one of those valuable life skills. And that's part of critical thinking, is thinking for yourself. In fact, critical thinking is thinking for yourself honestly and responsibly. And we can use critical thinking in a lot of, well, in every aspect of our lives. So, you know, when you look at something, and that kind of goes along with what I was saying about research earlier, you know, think critically. Look beyond what you necessarily see. Look for other explanations. Well, when you're reading something, don't just buy into it. And one final thought that I didn't mention that I wanted to on the whole research thing was, don't discount the value and the validity of reasonableness when you consider things. And I think that's another thing that just kind of is lost on a lot of folks, is when we consider different concepts, reincarnation is one. You know, you pretty much got to have faith to believe in that, because there's nothing about it. There's so many moral problems and ethical problems and all kinds of problems with reincarnation. However, doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that we need more data. We need to know how to view it, if it is in fact true. But we have to keep searching. We can't just accept it without some kind of evidence. Now, I will grant there are people who have memories. Dr. Hunter's one. And I don't discount those. I don't belittle those. I don't deny those. It's just that if you don't have that, you gotta keep looking. And that's why I keep looking. I need to satisfy those moral arguments that it raises up. And so that's, and you have to look at the whole thing in the spirit of reasonableness. What would be a reasonable solution to understanding reincarnation if it indeed exists? So don't discount that. Look for reasonableness. Does this concept have the ring of truth? Does it stand to reasonable discussion and so forth? All right, Dr. Hunter, I don't know if you're back with us or not.
Well, I'm trying to be.
Okay, we can hear you.
And then I guess my video was on, too, and then Michael made a comment about the video looks crisp, too. A good thing I wasn't doing anything that would be embarrassing.
Well, so, I don't know. We owe royalties to that one for
that one. Something could pop up on YouTube. Oh, no. You know, I just picked a card while you were talking also, and it's gains, if I can read that, because I think that's a really good message in there. It's number 27 in the spirituality suit. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price of denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. So it's kind of right along what you were talking about, Dr. Kelly. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. So it's, you know, what you were talking about, sometimes we see what we want to see. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you don't want to see the situation or the behavior, but there's always a gain. There's always a value for value. or a trade-off in some way. And I think just about in everything that we do. My question is always, if I'm going to look at something, do something, embark on something, is always, what do I hope to achieve by this? So that's always a good question to ask.
All right. Obviously, a lot of good points, and we just need to take these points that we discuss on these programs and really try to apply them to us. Where do they fit in our lives? Where do they fit in our own development, in our own evolution? Because tonight we talked about the law of control, paying it forward, invoking the counselor within. We talked about hope. We talked about attitude and disposition. We talked about expediency, paranormal research tips, evolution, paradoxes, thinking for yourself, and of course gains. And if we do these things, we will see the gains. They may be slow at first, but they're there, and we have to never give up hope that they'll continue. And I say that as much to remind myself as anyone else, because, you know, we're all human. So at any rate, folks, we appreciate your time and your attention, and appreciate you being here. We know you could be elsewhere. Thank you for being with us, whether you're listening to this live broadcast or the archive. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the program. Thanks to Dr. Hunter for being here, and we look forward to seeing you again, so to speak, next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.